And here we are, almost all of us. Hello, Kasira. Hello, everybody, and happy snow moon. How is everybody doing, first of all?
I'm feeling the snowy weather, but cloudy on our side, actually.
Well, no, it's warm here, so not very snowy. I'll just tell you that right now.
We do have a little bit of snow on the ground, just leftover snow. It was so gorgeous when it came down about a week ago, I guess. But everything is going incredibly well, and this is a good time. This is a good time of year. I want to, you know, there are a couple of things that I want to talk about today. First of all, the snow moon, obviously, it's February, and this is the last full moon of winter.
Right.
Did you all know that? Because spring is coming a little earlier this year, thank God. And it is also the macro moon. We're also used to hearing about the super moon. But this moon, it seems to be, it's all an optical illusion. It seems to be further from the Earth's surface. And therefore, it seems to be smaller than usual. Did you, all of you experience that last night? Did you see the moon?
I saw it I saw it over the last three nights, and it's been, from my point of view, rather magnificent because it's been clear. Unusually, I was able to see it, but it didn't necessarily seem, it seemed a little bit smaller, but usually when I catch it, it's up pretty high over the horizon, and it's a little bit harder to tell when it's at the horizon. That's when you can really tell the difference, but I was remarking that that we were able to see it so clearly.
And, you know, I have this moon moonology cards, and I have a calendar, and the moon is in Virgo right now. And Cyprian, I know that you're a Virgo as well. How much love is too much love? If you're feeling suffocated or think you could be emotionally suffocating someone, now's the time to take a breath. And we all need to take a collective sigh, because there's a lot going on in the world right now. Yesterday was a primary in my home state of South Carolina. We know how that's going. So we all need to manifest positive energy for how we all deal with the things that are going on right now and how it is affecting us. One of the things that I want to talk about with all of you, and I'm going to start with you, Kasira, is to talk about rituals. And if there are certain rituals that you have around the full moon. And again, Kasira, I'm starting with you.
Well, there are rituals I have daily. I'm daily thankful. I'm daily appreciative. I'm daily grateful. Chanting at least once a day, reciting the Lotus Sutra. Chanting Nanyo Wurenge Kyo, and meditating. Those are my daily rituals. I find a time to sit still and get quiet and breathe and clear the mind. With full moon rituals, it's really interesting to, for anybody out there watching, listening, it's really interesting to look at websites that talk about the spiritual meanings of full moons. I really love Green Witch, Lunar Witch. That's one of my favorite ones. They're very detailed about each full moon and the colors associated with the moon. If you want to do some candle burning or you want to eat foods that are indicative of the month, it's a really great resource for that. Interestingly, it's right now it's kind of a mixture of whites, winter colors, and now we're just beginning to get into spring, so some lavender is recommended, and green. This is the time of year when little green things are starting to just barely pop up out of the ground. You know, they're getting ready to grow.
Absolutely. Cyprian, same question. Are there any rituals that you practice around the full moon?
Yes. During the full moon, it can tend to get emotional, especially when this full moon's in Virgo, which is like, you know, a lot of mental activities, so a lot going in the mind. So, you know, first, like, I'll be in a meditative state focusing on breath work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, since I was kind of recently sick, one of the things that I've learned in meditation practice by some yogis was alternative nostril breathing. So it's kind of like you cover one part of your nostril with, like, you know, your last two fingers, and then, like, you inhale, and then, like, you know, you exhale, like, you know, in the other side by squeezing the other nostril with your thumb, and you repeat the process, like, back and forth. And then, like, you know, that makes a difference. And another thing I do is I do, like, squats facing north or west, like 40. I don't do it every day, but then I've been advised to do so. It's good for, like, grounding and, like, root chakra, but then you also can use it to release you need to release into, like, Mother Earth too. It's a workout, but then, you know, if you need to sweat, though, that means, like, you're releasing energy as well too. And another one I do, of course, is, like, burning the new moon check that we write in any previous new moon periods, like wishes or abundances. So that way, like, you know, you manifest what your intentions are during, like, those periods.
Mm-hmm. Where did that ritual begin for you? I'm fascinated by that. The 40 squats facing north.
Yeah.
North or west. I got that from, like, one of my spiritual peers who's a Reiki master and who's been part of my awakening and reawakening process. Mm-hmm. So she would just advise me to, like, you know, do that, though. But then whatchamacallit? That's also, like, mainly, like, you know, when it comes to, like, root chakra matters, though, it's good for, like, finances and necessities. But at the same time, in order to, like, align with, like, these, like, kind of, like, necessities, it's also about, you know, releasing, like, you know, what you don't want or need in order to make room for, like, the things that you need or want that is to, like, come your way. It's like opening your space and then, like, your centers to all things essential.
That's great. Aaron, same question. Do you have any special rituals?
Yeah, I love the squatting. That's very cool. I'll have to incorporate that.
I'm going to start that today. That's great. I love that.
I can see how it moves us up and down through this energy field that our chakras would normally inhabit, and also connecting us to Mother Earth energetically. That's really cool. I love that. So what I do is typically I start the research, which is really fun. Well, first of all, every morning I get up, I do this thing where I force a smile. Very important to note, it doesn't happen naturally, but I force a smile, grin, because that changes our hormonal balance, you know. And I throw my hands up into this position. I throw my head back and I say, thank you, three times. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, and just smile, just force the smile. That's the thing I do every day. So during the moon cycle, of course, I'm doing that more. I'm working with the four directions. The research that I usually do, and usually Kasira and I will talk and we'll start researching a few days in advance or something like that. And so I'm used to doing that. And that brings up a lot of information because I then researched the different moon cycles will have different procedures. You know, they'll have different colors, they'll have different foods, they'll have some different things to become aware of. This particular one is interesting since I'm Pisces and the sun is in Pisces and it's a Virgo moon. It was shockingly emotional. And the release was amazing. Once I got through that release, this amazing information came in through the research, which was beyond what I could have ever wished for. So it was not routine. And that's the interesting thing is there are a few basic, like, structural things that I'll do, but the routine of it seems quite different each time. We seem to have a pretty long full moon cycle. I'm not sure why it feels longer. So I'm going through this cycle more right now, even now. And I'm recovering from some cold or something right now, too. So okay. This side of the screen, we're having some
issues. That's great. Kasira, I hope you don't mind what I'm about to say, but congratulations. I hear that you're going to be doing the Spectacular Follies. You and Doug McAllister. And he's also dealing with a little illness. So we're sending healing thoughts to him if he happens to be watching. This is also called the Hunger Moon. Kasira, do you want to elaborate on that? And if there is anything going on in your life right now that reflects the hunger moon?
Not necessarily me, but I will say that the hunger, they call it the hunger moon as well, because animals who hibernate are beginning to wake up. They're beginning to stir. They haven't eaten in a while. They're stretching, they're yawning, they're thinking about coming outside the cave or the nest or wherever they've been hiding. What I will say, what I'd like to say, is that this full moon, particularly, I know we've talked in the past about recent full moons that call us to really look within, look at what's working, what's not working for us, make some choices, let go of what isn't working for us well, hone those things that are. This particular full moon calls for introspection. And the basic meaning of introspection is for us to examine and observe our own feelings and emotions. This is a big introspective moon. We do this before we stretch and we do plenty of yawning and walk outside the cave. Now, here in Dallas, and I know in LA, it's been warmer. It's warmed up already. Like we had a little bit of a winter. I would say it was a long winter. We're now into spring. We have these little what they call cold fronts. In Texas, I wouldn't particularly call them cold. Last weekend, it did get, I think, in the 20s or 30s at night. Mm-hmm. During the day, it was just lovely and beautiful. And it's been in the 60s and 70s here during the day. So we're already venturing out of the cave or the nest or the den to welcome spring in. Introspection, really looking at, really paying attention to how we're feeling and where the feelings came from, observing our thought processes. We have a thought and it triggers a feeling. What kind of thoughts are we having that are triggering these particular feelings? Before we venture out into the world and spew our feelings all over everybody, let's look at those first. Let's look at the any sort of negative thoughts and feelings we're conjuring up. And yet let's really focus on the positive feelings and where those thoughts are coming from. You see, it's a time for us to take responsibility for our thoughts and feelings. And you know, sometimes I talk about it in my book, Let That Go. Mm-hmm. We can become addicted to certain feelings, and sometimes they're negative and we don't even realize that we're addicted to those feelings. Sadness is one. Are we addicted to being sad? What kind of thoughts are we saying, are we having in our heads, or what are we saying to ourselves that triggers those feelings of sadness? If we have thoughts about something that is triggering sadness, we got to look at ourselves. We have to look at what's going on in our lives. What have we co-created with someone else or something else or some other institution or group or in a place that keeps bringing up those feelings of sadness? Let's look at that. Let's look at those situations. And let's, if we don't like those negative feelings and we don't like those negative thoughts, let's look at how we can change the situation so it serves us better. And of course, for the good of all, so that it doesn't hurt anyone else.
That's wonderful. Thank you for that. Cynthia, do you want to build upon what Kasira just said?
Yes. As she was bringing up, like focusing on a positive, it reminded me of when I do those meditations to release, like, you know, anything like negative or that's like kind of painful inside. It's like I do that with an exhale. And then when I inhale, it's about inhaling the positive things. It's like, you know, clearing out like some of like these debris inside of us in our, like, you know, energy centers too as well. But then I do pretty much agree about, like, you know, when she said let it go or letting it go. That's about the release. It's about like just letting it all go when we exhale, and like we take a moment for ourselves and establish like the breath work. And like, you know, speaking of like the hibernating energy or the periods for animals, energetically, they're actually taking times like, you know, for themselves and to themselves as they are resting. It's kind of like, you know, they're resetting their and their energies, and they're like, you know, there's a time for everything where we need this to rest. We need like, you know, rest at times. And that, like, you know, we rest, we're ready to like just take action and do the things that we need and want to do with quality energy, not without burning ourselves up off, which is like, you know, quantity, where I'm gonna do what I need to do. And I have an OCD fascination to like, you know, get anything and everything done. But then, you know, I'd say that like it's always important to pace ourselves on a day-to-day basis and to take everything one day at a time to reach any long-term goals. That's like, you know, far ahead, because when time goes by, we realize and recognize how fast that time goes by too. So that's my take.
That's great. Aaron?
Yeah, we over the last couple of weeks, we had some interesting fun and transformative experiences. Cypri and I in California just experienced Conscious Life Expo 2024, which was really cool. There was for me, there's always a through line that Spirit has for me. There's my schedule, then there's Spirit's schedule. the event took me through this idea of sound healing. It was one of the panels that Sabrina and I sat in on. We have some other friends that we meet up over there year after year after year. And we all had these amazing experiences. This sound panel experience, actually, we were in the sound panel when the earthquake occurred, which was fun.
Wow. Yeah. What was that experience like?
Yeah. The night before, I had a dream that I was standing on the top of the hotel, and the hotel was having it was shaking. And I was like, wow, it's an earthquake. Then we're sitting in the room.
Aaron, you've had that dream before. I mean, you have talked about this type of a dream that you have.
Oh, yeah, I have precognitive dreams frequently. I can't say frequently, but I'll say they're usually, a very unusual event comes, and I'm usually warned. It was a mild earthquake, so it didn't. Mm-hmm. It didn't threaten. We sat there. The speaker moderator was talking about how low frequency sounds can, we don't hear them, but we feel them. And then suddenly everything started shaking.
Wow. Wow. The universe has spoken.
Yeah, exactly. So that's how we took it. But it took us on this amazing journey. And even now today, listening to the conversations that are going on this journey, it's reminding me of the healings that occur spontaneously and collectively for everyone in the world at the same time. And we see that in the astrologies, you know, we see, okay, yeah, we have a full moon. There are other things going on in the sky too, which are also reflected down here in our own cultures and our own personal lives. Maybe I'll let Cyprian touch base on some of those, but these new, and of course, sound healing is not new, but now there are new technologies that are coming together and are being experienced within the collective, which is amazing, which is beautiful. I actually had a card that was reflecting on what you guys were saying too, because I just let me see if I can pull this up real quick. Oh, these are the wrong glasses. So from the Oracle Wisdom deck, can you see that? The card is Unfinished Symphony. Let's see if we can get the lighting correct here, because it's a little bit bright. Hold on, let's just do that. Can you see it? I don't know. It's a beautiful little egg. Which is talking about unfinished business and incomplete lessons. You know, we're in life to learn how to, like Cyprian was saying, get everything done. And it's not necessarily that we ever get everything done, but we go through the completion, go through the cycle, accept that there's a closure, release it, let it go. Whatever lessons we are valuable, we hold on to those, we pass them on, and we open our vessel up. We don't have to like keep learning that lesson all over again, you know, which some people do with affirmations and things like that. You know, you go into their bathroom and they say, I want to be rich and beautiful. And then 5 years later, you go in their bathroom, they still have that post-it note on the mirror. And you're like, what happened? Didn't something change that? Did you clean the mirror? I don't know. it speaks to me of the subtlety of the lesson. We may have a big goal. Yes, I want to get through this life. Okay, yeah, well, we're going to do it day by day. We're going to do it minute by minute. We're going to do it breath by breath. And each one of those cycles, as they build up to bigger cycles and then bigger cycles, they create this frequency, this resonance. And then so we ritualistically can look at these moon cycles with those frequencies, and we can break it down. And I love what Cyprian reminds us of each time, to write our new moon check.
Yes.
Make our intentions clearly. And they really should evolve a little bit. You know, we can't leave the same post-it note on the refrigerator door. You know, yes, okay, I love myself enough to not eat the...
But Aaron, sometimes the ritual is just putting a post-it note on the mirror and leaving it at that. If we all say, I'm going to be rich, I'm going to be rich, I'm going to be rich, and a $6,000 check is going to be in my mailbox tomorrow, and we haven't done the legwork to ensure that $6,000 check arrives in the mailbox tomorrow, we're just, it's like being in a car that's stuck in the mud. Mm-hmm. It's not going anywhere. And we just need to, you know, years ago, I had a friend, Dodie Goodman. Some of you may know her. She was on Mary Hartman, Grease, a lot of things. And she had a heart issue, and she was a Christian Scientist. And because she was a Christian Scientist, she did not want to see a doctor or anything. She thought she was going to pray it away. And then a mutual friend of ours, Leroy Reams, said to her, it's like having your car break down and having in the glove compartment the number for AAA. But we say, we're not going to use that card. I'm going to hope that the right person is going to come by and fix it. The methods for us to get there are there. We just need to do the legwork to make sure that it happens.
Yeah, exactly. The idea of, what did we call it in Christian Science, treat and move your feet. So, you know, you say the thing and then get out there and do something about it. And sometimes it's not even doing specifically, because our ego will say, hold on, back in the past, I read that one book, or I saw that one show, or there was a commercial on TV a long time ago, so we're going to do it that way. No, Spirit says, you've given it to me placing your intention on the field. You've already given it to me. I have a plan. Leave it alone. Go have fun, is what Spirit says. Mm-hmm. Go heal the world. Go forth and heal. You know, go out and enjoy something. You know, go and just be part of the creation that already is for a few minutes and enjoy it and be grateful for it. And, you know, pick up a bottle that's rolling down the street, whatever, you know, and it doesn't have to be specifically altruistic, but the idea is to have a little bit of joy in our lives when we're experiencing it. And, you know, that's what a full moon cycle is about, is releasing all the stuff that kind of gets in the way of the joy. It's funny, because with this Virgo full moon, everything that presented to me was all about straightening something up, fixing something, cleaning something. And I was like, wait a minute, I don't feel good. I'm sick. But things would come up that would force me to clean up, because maybe somebody's going to come over. You can't have them seeing the house as a pigsty or something like that. But I thought, oh, this is Virgo moon energy. I see. So we simply go with it. And I look in my space and I'm like, wow, I forgot about that book, or I forgot about that thing, or whatever it was, you know. We find these little beautiful little treasures along the way as we follow the cycle and the impulses of the cycles.
I'm glad that you just brought up this Virgo moon energy. And since we do have a Virgo here, I'm going to go with him, let him lead this. So Cyprian, what does the Virgo mean, the Virgo full moon, in terms of our own spirituality?
The Virgo full moon? Okay, the full moon's about release. And, you know, the Virgo is the archetype of warring. It's the archetype of, health. So, you know, just like releasing anything that's like unhealthy and, you know, which could be trying to get well and doing, you know, we talk about getting sick and establishing the natural like rituals and consuming the remedies that we need to in order to like release all that, you know, gunk inside, like, you know, that bacteria or virus or whatnot. But then, you know, it rules the nervous system, it rules the gut. So it's about like the things that we put in our body, anything that's like cleansing, anything that detoxes us. We drink a lot. So we drink a lot of water. I have to drink a lot of water, like, you know, the past 2 weeks, you know, but then at the same time, you just don't do that when you're sick. You should be doing that, like, you know, on a frequent basis, because
funny that you say that. I went to see an ENT guy this week and he said, how much water do you drink? And I said, oh, I drink lots of water. And he said, that's the frequent answer that everyone gives, or a lot of people do. And it's all based on your body mass and everything. And most people, if you think you're drinking enough water, you're not.
Right.
Yeah.
It's true. That's very true.
Yeah. And it's not the same thing as like eating soup, drinking soup, tea, juice, or anything that's liquid though. It's about, no, pure water, you know? Pure water, there's a difference.
That's right. Yeah. Aaron, do you want to build upon that?
Yeah. You know, the idea of drinking the water, I learned from growing up in a desert, growing up in Tucson, Arizona, where it's very hot and it's extremely dry. We don't sip water. You know, a lot of people think they get a big glass of cold water, it's sweating and all this stuff, the ice is tingling, and they take a little dab just to wet the lips. It does nothing for the body. Absolutely nothing. In fact, what it does is it triggers dehydration, because the body thinks that that's all it's going to get, so it's going to start to change its resource flow in the body. We want to drink an entire glass of water, and you know, the coldest that you can drink it the best, because then it is absorbed more into your cellular structure. But I learned this when I was on stage and we were doing a show, and I was right before the show, I got this horrible migraine. Horrible. And somebody says, I'm like, oh God, what do I do? I don't know what to do, because it's starting to come on. I'm starting to
not there, done that. I know exactly what you mean.
Horrible. So a friend, she had this big, big bottle of water, and she always carried two or three of them in her bag. She handed it to me and I was like, I took a sip. She says, drink the entire thing right now. I'm going to watch you. She watched me drink the entire, whatever, however big it was, water. The headache dissolved. It went away. My body was so dehydrated and I didn't realize it. See, that's the thing, is we never realize it, because the body is such a complex mechanism. It compensates, you know, it's trying to keep us alive, even though we have bad habits.
That's right. Yeah. Go ahead.
But the idea of drinking the water is so important. We're in a season where we're looking at a Virgo full moon through the eyes of Pisces. We're like, oh, water's everywhere. I haven't been so dehydrated in such a long time. I mean, it's been raining here. It's been kind of chilly for California. It's warming up a little bit. But I find myself really dehydrated because I'm looking at the water instead of taking in the water. Mm-hmm. Which I think might be one of the causes for my infirmity, my current condition. But sometimes we look out into the reflection of the world and we see the blessings, and we don't realize we have to cultivate those within us. We have to bring them into us. And sometimes it's simply bringing into us the awareness of our connection to these things. Otherwise, we would not see them. We can bring them in through appreciation. You know, we can bring them in through, I've recently learned, and there's a lot of technology around this, but the idea of water holding a memory. Mm. Water, Veda Austin is one of the speakers who's been on a, she's done a lot of research.
I was just reading about moon water rituals this morning. So it's interesting that we're having this conversation. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah, they're super powerful because water actually holds certain frequencies. Veda Austin is learning that it doesn't necessarily hold all frequencies, which is great because we're kind of stupid sometimes. We don't want that water thinking what we're thinking and we're consuming it. But if we simply hold love, or we simply hold appreciation for this water, or we simply hold highest good or something, some phrase that we can instantly pop into our head. It could be a mantra, it could be a chant, it could be a song, something that is uplifting and has beneficial language and has a resourceful frequency. And we allow that frequency to go into that glass of water and then drink it down. It feeds our entire system.
It's beautiful. I'd like to kind of pick up what you're dropping.
I love that. So,
this is water. Mm-hmm. This big thing right here is water. I drink, gosh, I don't know, a bunch of these a day.
Wow.
There is such a thing as the power of water. I've read the book. I think Aaron's read the book. We can really, we can write anything on a piece of paper and put it under a glass, a cup of something, especially water. And the water takes on those characters.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So if I've got a cold glass of water, I've got these clear crystal coasters. Mm-hmm. Write something right now, for instance, introspection, the snow moon. I would write, in fact, I'm going to do this when we're done. I'm going to write, really see myself. Mm. Positive feelings, positive thoughts. Put it under that coaster and put this glass on it. And it has an effect on the water. That that the intention has an effect on water. It's magical. It's really magical. And as we drink in the water, we're drinking in that petition that's under the glass. A lot of people use the word love. Just write the word love. You know, sanity, peace. That's a big one. Peace. Peace on earth, peace in the world, to put under a glass or a cup.
That's great. You know, it says the snow moon holds deep spiritual significance, symbolizing a new dawn. And you talked earlier about the fact that animals are waking up from hibernation and they're going back out to the world. And I feel that at this type of year, I mean, we are also heading towards, in the Christian calendar, Easter. And that's about rebirth and starting life again. And essentially all religions have their moment of rebirth that we're all going through. Kazira, do you want to talk a little bit about the spiritual significance of this time of year?
Sure. The original holiday was created by the Druids. It was called Auster, which is, sorry, everybody, that's where Easter comes from. But also the Druids also, the idea of the Easter egg, rebirth, that all comes from the old religion, Druids. I remember being on the special events staff and the kitchen staff of St. Thomas Episcopal Church here in Dallas. My grandmother was and great aunt were Episcopalian. And one Easter, I and another friend were in charge. For 1 year, I did everything. And Episcopalians observe 6 weeks of Easter, right? Wow. So on the Easter Eve, when we had our big church get together, I decided to cover with this big, I called it the Bodhi tree, but this big potted tree in the community room, which we also have a laid tile labyrinth in the floor that we can walk. We decided to set up tables in a circle around the center of this labyrinth, and the tree was in the middle, and I decorated the tree with butterflies. I went to the dollar store and I bought tons of those battery operated butterflies. They're called fairy wings or angel wings. and bought them in pink and blue and green and yellow. And I covered the tree, and I also got these.
Oh. The butterfly. flew away. hopefully Cassandra will be back in a moment.
And
oh, there she is.
Hello, sorry. So they were all over the tree. We turned them on, they were lit up.
There's some energy that's stopping us from knowing about these butterflies.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I just put a butterfly on my recent vision board.
Oh.
Yes, I just glued it on there. Let me see if I can. Right.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And wow, what is the significance for you, Cyprian, of the butterfly on your vision board? I love this vision board, by the way.
Beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. That's the second one. But it's still only 92% complete because I intend to add more stuff on here.
Wow, I love that.
Yes.
What does that mean to you? What does the butterfly mean to you, Cyprian?
It means transformation, and it also means just healing and connection to loved ones and spirit. Because loved ones and spirit can tend to manifest as butterflies when they come through for you.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, man.
That's okay. Yeah. Cyprian was showing us his vision board.
Oh.
Cyprian, you want to show it again? Because
I recently put a butterfly on there.
Okay. Huh? Oh, lovely.
Love that. Yeah, I love the colors.
Yeah, the colors are pretty.
Yeah. And
what I wanted to say was that Father Waller, our rector at the time, he was awesome. He said, "Do you know that the butterfly is actually the symbol of Easter? And a lot of Christians don't know that." And he said, "I find it interesting that you put butterflies on the big Easter thing." And we turned the lights off and I had harp music playing and it was just magical. So butterfly, the symbol of rebirth, the symbol of, osmosis, the symbol of change, right? And what's interesting is that butterflies don't live that long. They don't live too terribly long.
Right.
However, change, kind of for me, it's kind of a symbol that change doesn't really have to take all that long. It's up to us of how long our own change occurs. Mm-hmm. So for me, the spiritual meaning of this moon is reawakening, getting ready to rebirth, getting ready to reinvent ourselves if we like, I'm making a lot of changes in my own life and the way I live it at the moment. And so are you, Richard Skipper.
Yes.
You're doing some big stuff, you know.
Yeah, it's been, I feel as if everything that my entire life is culminating on this moment right now.
Yeah.
And the reviews for my new show are reflecting that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Rebirthing, cool. Reawakening, reinventing. It's like every day is a new day. And so this is like one big new day when we're coming into spring. Spring just feels so good when it hits, doesn't it?
Which Miss McKee is the message of Dolly. It's about rejoining the human race and adventure. Get out there and make things happen. I'm going to go back to what Aaron said about that sticky note on the mirror. And I love the fact, did they ever clean their mirror? And that could go a little deeper too. I mean, we all need to clean our mirrors because we all may be looking at a foggy expression of ourselves instead of seeing our true selves. Aaron, do you want to talk about the spirituality of this particular moon?
There's always a flow, I think, and sometimes the flow of energy can immediately identify certain blockages or resistance. And what I found with the flow of the cleaning energy that this Virgo moon has. I did see that I do build up resistances. And even as Kasira was saying, there's an addiction to wanting to be right. And a lot of times it's, for me, sometimes it's right about being wrong or, you know, or the wrong thing. And it's funny. Here's the one interesting thing I've also noticed during this particular period is I've heard people randomly say to me, wow, something really strange happened. I have this, basically they were saying that this energy is brought to them and it brings back something from their distant past. For me, I was reflecting on it this morning and I thought, wow, this is very interesting that I have this same feeling from when I was 5 years old and I didn't feel so good. And it would be the same time of the year and it would occur and the same emotional baggage would come with it. And it was very peculiar. And it's like, I thought, now I'm going to be 60 in a few weeks. I'm thinking, why would I be thinking having that in the background, feeling like a little five-year-old? So I went with it. I just thought, just go with it. So it reminded me of like when I was sick and my mom would take me to the clinic or whatever. You know, I grew up with asthma, so there was a lot of that sort of thing going on. And I was always remembering that getting out of the car, getting the jacket or whatever on and marching in. And I would try to remember, I only remember a couple of times of interacting with the doctor, but there was something special about my mom taking care of me during my sickness when I suddenly had this deep compassion, like, wow, this sucks that she had to alter her life, you know, to, you know, either go to get me out of school if I was sick or go and pick me up and take me to the doctor or nurse me and do all the stuff, plus everything else for my the brothers, you know, the family. I thought, wow, that's really tough. It gave me a new level of respect for mothers who do these things and sometimes fathers too, but, you know, particularly in my time with my mom doing these things, that would be a big shift, you know. And she, I think maybe there were times that I felt abandoned. And today I said, wow, I wasn't abandoned at all. She was busy doing everything for me, everything. The only thing that I was missing because she was doing everything for me was that physical presence, you know. And I thought, well, that should be forgivable, you know. I think I can forgive myself now. So this spiritual practice brings up these topics that can be looked at with different eyes, these feelings that can be forgiven, these perceptions that can be healed. And each one is different. I'm finding each and every one that, you know, every time we come on the show, there's a new thing. And this particular one hasn't ever come up before. So that's where I am spiritually with it.
Is your mom still physically with us?
No, she left in 1983. So that was quite some time. Interesting
you're turning 60 and that these thoughts are coming through. I think she's reaching out to you.
Oh, she always does. But yes, yeah. She is. And I'm seeing that other people are also seeing these type of deep reflections as well. And they'll just suddenly say to me, wow, it feels kind of weird. I'm experiencing, I'm like, wow, this is, so I'm looking at the charts, of course, because it's kind of fun to look at the astrology. And there is a lot of deep reflection right now, a lot of it.
And you also mentioned your five-year-old self, and that's a big aspect of my other shows that I do. I always ask my guests to come in with a photograph of them at 5 years of age, because there's such, to me, it's the purest self. Mm-hmm. I think it's really when kids start to develop into who we become. And the five-year-old self is that time also when people begin to tell us who we should be or who we shouldn't be. And, you know, and it's very interesting right now that at this time in our consciousness in the world, that, you know, kids and sexuality and kids and, you know, transgender issues and everything has come to the forefront in a way that was never there when all of us were 5 years old, regardless of what time that was in our lives. I also want to mention that the snow moon symbolizes purity, renewal, and the transition from winter's introspection to spring's optimism. Easter, it invites individuals to reflect, cleanse negative energies, and embrace new beginnings. Kasira, run with that.
Well, we already talked about it being a time of rebirth, a time of renewal, a time of reinvention, if we like. And we have to remember that once that sets in, summer's coming.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever we're creating right now through spring manifests in summer, in those summer months. I've always paid attention to the change of seasons growing up. It always seemed really magical to me. I was very excited. I've always been excited for a new season. What are we going to be excited about going forward? Creating excitement in our lives, creating something unique and new and different. Because what's the point of doing the same thing, the same old way every day throughout the 365, right? So right. What do we create right now as we're coming into the time of rebirth and renewal that we would like to manifest in summer? What are we going for there? I'm already practically there, you know, going on the road for a while,
visiting
friends, which is different from, well, I mean, there was a time where I used to tour. I call it a tour because I haven't left home for this long and it feels really good. I'm creating, I don't know, that might be a good question for us all and people out there listening or watching. What is that thing that we would like to create, that we would desire to create, that we feel required to recreate for our lives, for our own happiness and well-being? Mine, it turns out, I've had conversations the past few days, is freedom.
Mm-hmm.
More freedom. That's what I'm creating for myself going forward in this time of year, and especially really solidifying my plans this month for my life until, gosh, September or October.
I love that.
Freedom, beautiful. Yeah.
What are you creating, Richard?
Well, it's the same thing. I am working on getting this show booked around the country. I want to take it out amongst the people, as Carol used to say. It's very interesting because when I did my show on my birthday, Leroy Reams was on, and he gave this quote, and he said, when in MAME, if you all remember when Agnes Gooch comes down the stairs, extremely pregnant, and she says, "Nobody loves me," and Patrick says, "Agnes, you are loved. Boy, are you loved." And Leroy said that about me on stage the other night, because the audience, I had people who flew in from all over the country to be there, and as I said to Aaron earlier, we're turning people away. There was just not enough room for everyone. But then my publicist called me the next day and she said, "Are you aware of how much you are loved?"
Wow.
And I said, "It took me 63 years to get here." I'll cry thinking about it. Because I didn't feel that growing up.
Yeah.
I didn't feel it and when we all create art, when we all create whatever we create, and it starts here. I'm studying Bob Proctor now, and he talked about the conscious mind and the subconscious mind, and it starts subconsciously, and then it's a matter of taking this energy, because it is energy, and putting it out into the world. And when we are creating anything, whether it be working on a song, working on a show, working on whatever it is that we're working on, until it's in front of an audience and other people are experiencing what we are experiencing, that's when it takes on its own reality. So that, you know, is basically where I am right now with everything and where, you know, that's taking us. Cyprian, what about you? What are you creating right now?
I'm creating as by like learning to have more of a passion on creating the things I need to behind the scenes so that they could be like in front of the scene, in the scene. too. So I'm just like just creating, actually recreating ways of doing things and having like, you know, ways of setting intentions to what I do and setting, like creating modalities, meditative modalities, like, you know, eating meditation, working meditation, you know, writing meditation, anything. It doesn't just have to be formal sitting meditation in a space that you hold for yourself. So speaking of that, I'm also creating new spaces to be held for others that'll be interested in what I bring to the table. Not just only that, but then would be interested in, like, you know, my story too. Mm-hmm. And so I'm also creating recreating old connections and creating new connections too as well.
And sorry, go ahead.
In a positive light, and you know, that's all there is to it. Go ahead.
Aaron, yourself?
Yeah, you know, okay, so last night I had a little fight with technology here because I want to, first of all, the studio where Cyprian works, that he's affiliated with, is Sedona Star Spa in Buena Park. And they're an amazing group of people. We celebrated a Gonghi Fa Choi Chinese New Year celebration. When was that? Last weekend, I think?
Yes.
Beautiful. Yes. Oh my God. The people are amazing. The spa is just a little tiny like storefront window in a strip mall in Buena Park. It was packed and the energy was tremendously beautiful. The master, what was the master's name that was?
Master Nate Batum.
What's his name?
Master Nate Batum, Feng Shui Master. He's been doing it for decades. And he's a Virgo as well, speaking of the full moon.
It was beautiful to be in his presence in this ancient wisdom that he brings with him. He's been doing this all of his life, and he's what, probably in his mid 80s or something. I don't know, but he was joking with me like we were two, you know, teenagers. It was very funny. But to hear this clarity that comes out, and I thought, you know what, let me just get my stuff together. So I had this fight with technology because I want to be able to, you know, sit in my own space. If something comes up, throw it on a video. We can edit it into something. We can share it. Kasira is going to be visiting, and we can do something. And so this is really where I'm going. I'm trying to set up the framework for you know, this type of interaction, so that when an idea pops in, I can flip a switch and record it. You know, I know people do this with their phone, but I think my Aquarius placement. No, maybe it's my Taurus placement. I don't know. Something makes me really, really, really appreciate the idea of production values. And I don't want something to ever seem cheap, or, you know, I don't ever want to hide it or feel like it needs to be hidden. I want to put my best forward so that I can feel good about it. Now, the thing is that I understand that sometimes you just got to get it done, you know, get her done. So the fight wasn't long. I realized, you know, that that's just an obstacle I'm throwing in my path to actually self, you know, to that prevent self-expression. So I don't know, that's where I'm working right now. And of course my regular job is keeping me going. There's a lot of interesting things happening around, but that's constantly changing. So and we just integrate everything else. The support networks that are constantly being developed, I want to fortify those as much as I can, you know. And that means hanging out with friends, making sure we have the right conversations, making sure we're, you know, fortified and nourished, and seen. You know, it's so important to stand before a friend and say, you know, I really do see you. This is really cool that we are in this space together, experiencing this at this time.
You know? Yeah. I love that. We only have a few minutes left here, and I'm actually performing tonight. I have I'm appearing a very important friend of mine. He is turning 95, and I performed at his 90th birthday party, and they called me and asked me if I'd be a part of the celebration tonight. So I'm very excited to be a part of that. the last comment that I have is, the snow moon marks a period of quiet reflection and renewal. And what I want to do as we go around is if you can all pull an oracle card, if you have one nearby. Do you, Kasira?
I do. Hang on.
Okay. And we'll let this be our closing comments today. If you can look at the oracle card, I haven't even looked at mine yet. When Kasira gets back, and then we'll reflect on what this card means for all of us at this time.
And hi, Pam. I want to say hi, Pam, in the chat.
And Pam, and thank you for your comments throughout the show, Pam. Yeah. And God bless your mother as well. Kasira will be back any second. Do you want to wait until she gets back, or Cyprian, do you want to start?
I could start here off the fly. Because I pulled one already, and it's called from the Starseed Oracle deck, the Seven Star Sisters, Birthing Creations, Tapestry of Life, Expression. So we talked about creating and manifesting too.
Can you pull that up a little higher? Expression. I love that.
Wow.
Aaron?
Yeah. So from the Kuan Yin Oracle deck, the card that I pulled is the number 44, Weave the Future Golden. My lighting is a little weird. I'm sorry about that. Let's just see if I can do that. Okay, there we go. She's a beautiful card.
I love that. So expression,
yeah.
Weave.
Yeah, so this future. Is weave. And it's something good is coming your way. Kuan Yin urges you to weave your future into your present moment. To call in and draw to you the opportunities, the teachings, the circumstances, and the synchronicities waiting for you. That will enable your soul to live its divine destiny with greater abundance, bliss, and creative fulfillment. So that's our card today.
That's great. Kasira?
Well, when I shuffle the cards and I flip them, I'll take the bottom of one stack and the top of the other. Interesting, they're both cats. So the first one is a cat. It says, independent. You are a natural healer. Your intuition is strong. You don't have to go with the crowd. Life supports you in every way.
Wow, what a beautiful Whoa. Card. Oh, I love that. Nice.
Yeah.
This is from the Sacred Spirit of the Animals Oracle. I decided to do animals since animals in the wild are coming out of hibernation. Mm-hmm. The second one is, this is interesting, the lynx, keeper Ooh. Of secrets. Take time out from the world and be the observer. This is a time for us to observe and examine our emotions and feelings, right? Emotions and mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing can deceive you when you trust your knowing. You see others' secrets and keep them sacred. In silence and solitude, you will find your strength.
Wow. Wow, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that pretty? Yeah. That's now, nice. Independence and keep your secrets. Okay.
I pulled from the Enchanted Map Oracle cards. I don't know if you have those.
Cool.
These are great cards. And the one that I picked, and it's so interesting, based on the conversation that we had today, and I'm going to pull this up. Can you see?
Right. Uh-huh. What does it say? I can't quite
Ride the wave.
Ride, yeah. Oh, so, wow.
So everybody who's watching, ride the wave. You know, ride the wave. Mm-hmm. We'll be back here on the Sunday. And thank you all. We met earlier today because all of us have crazy schedules right now and getting mm-hmm. it all on the same page. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Pam, especially, and anyone else who's watching, whether it be now or later. Ride the wave till next time that we come together as a collective group. We'll talk about the next full moon. Anything anyone wants to say in closing?
Happy observing and examination.
Yes.
And you know what, maybe next time we can talk about what we observed and examined, what we found within ourselves.
Mm.
That's great. Everybody stick around for just a moment. I'm going to end the show. Don't say anything so that it doesn't go out into the world. And then I will see you in just a moment. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Thank you.